Harper Audio presents Wing and Claw Number 2, Cavern of Secrets, by Linda Sue Park, performed by Graham Halstead. Part 1. Chapter 1. The wind stirred the green needles of the Neverbear trees. They swayed and leaned toward each other, murmuring of the coming spring. The trees surrounded the entrance to a cave, which was partially blocked by a huge lichen-covered boulder. Or perhaps it was a pile of dried bracken, for it too trembled in the wind. Then the pile began to stretch and shift, taking on a more distinct shape, a shaggy head, an enormous torso. The gigantic golden bear seemed to be emerging from the mountain itself. Rising to her full height, she opened her mouth and growled, a low rumble that grew into a throaty roar. Rafa was woken by thunder. Odd upon strange, he thought, a thunderstorm at this time of year. He rubbed his eyes and saw Kuma sitting up on her pallet.
"That's her! She's awake!"
Kuma exclaimed in delight and jumped to her feet. As Rafa followed her out of the shelter, he marveled at the thought of a bear so big that he'd mistaken her growl for thunder. They stopped just short of the mouth of the cave. The bear stood on her hind legs, half again as tall as a man, and sniffed the air for several seconds. Back down on all fours, she shook herself so hard that fur flew like snow, then retreated a few steps deeper into the cave. Rafa could see joy and relief on Kuma's face. It was one thing to know that bears hibernate. It was quite another for Kuma to have seen her beloved Roo breathing so infrequently for these many weeks that it almost seemed as if she had forgotten how. Moments of joy had been all but absent for Rafa's little group that winter. Months earlier, they had fled Gildan and escaped to the desolate wilderness of the Sudden Mountains. There, they had spent the daylight hours focused entirely on two activities, keeping warm and finding food. The work was too hard, the wind too cold, the snow too deep. There was never enough to eat. 2 days ago, the wind had changed. Its knife-edged sharpness had dulled, then softened. Rafa had almost cried with relief over the shift in the weather. Since then, Kuma had been checking the cave obsessively to see if Roo was awake. Now Rafa hung back while Kuma entered the cave. She moved slowly and spoke in a soothing tone as she approached the bear. Squatting down in front of Roo, she made herself small and unthreatening and let Roo sniff at her. Roo whined and swatted Kuma's shoulder affectionately with an enormous paw. Kuma was ready for this and had braced herself. Otherwise, Roo's exuberant greeting might have knocked her over. Then the bear turned away and began nosing at something on the ground. Something gray and furry with a striped tail. The mound of fur did not respond at first, but Roo let out a plaintive growl and persisted, continuing to nudge with her nose. Finally, there was a mewl of protest, and the masked face of a young raccoon appeared. Twig unfurled herself, sat up, and blinked a few times, her eyes glowing purple.
"Turtiwa," she squeaked. "Turti, turti."
"She's thirsty. She wants water," said Kuma, who almost always understood Twig immediately. Twig had gained the ability to speak after being treated with an infusion that contained a mysterious scarlet vine from the Forest of Wonders, but she could not speak nearly as well as Echo the Bat, who had received the same treatment. Twig's speech was limited to a word or two at a time, interspersed with an assortment of growls, chuffs, and snorts. Rafa thought this was because she was almost always with Roo, whereas Echo spent most of his time with humans. Rafa smiled at the little raccoon and went to fetch a straw full of melted snow for her. Following Kuma's example, he squatted down and moved slowly while Roo kept her eye on him. During the escape from Gildan, Twig had become separated from Bando, her twin brother, and their mother. Fortunately, Roo had...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?